the little engine that did the pro-environmental move, sending tremors through boardrooms far and wide. I'm David Brancaccio. We're leading with the tiny hedge fund worried about climate change that has shaken up the world of boardrooms. The activist hedge fund is called Engine Number One. And yesterday, when the vote was in, it had won enough support from other shareholders to get at least two seats on the board of the oil company ExxonMobil. The votes are still being counted, and there could be more. The investors don't think Exxon has done enough with cleaner energy. These types of challenges from activist investors tend not to get very far. Eric Gordon is a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business and closely follows shareholder activism. Eric, thanks for joining us.
Good morning, David.
Fair to say, a watershed moment?
This is a real sea change. This is the first time the climate change people have been able to challenge and succeed against a big oil company.
And the big oil company here did not want this change. And the challengers here were not really huge shareholders. It's not like they owned 51% of ExxonMobil.
You know, in the world of investing, it was an ant. This Engine Number One, the actual name of the challenger, is like a tiny ant. You can barely see them. But they put together and executed a masterful plan, and they won.
In large part, you could argue on the power of ideas, the pressing challenge of climate change.
Yeah, it was the triumph of an idea whose time has perhaps more than come against entrenched power. I mean, what is more entrenched and powerful than Exxon?
Now, boardrooms across the country are probably reading and listening with great attentiveness.
They sure are, because one, it's a big surprise, and two, directors like to keep their jobs. They're difficult jobs. They do a lot of work, but they pay a lot of money. The Exxon directors make between $200,000 and $675,000 a year. These are jobs they want to keep, and it's embarrassing amongst your peers to lose your job as a director.
And it moves the needle on the fight against carbon gases in the atmosphere that contribute to climate change, you think?
I think it more than moves the needle. I think any company, oil company or not, that is perceived to be dragging its feet the way Exxon was perceived to be dragging its feet, is going to take notice and is probably going to speed things up.
Eric Gordon is a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Always good to talk to you.
My pleasure, David.
Also yesterday, another of the oil majors, as they're called, Royal Dutch Shell, lost a landmark case in a European court where environmental activists successfully sued to force Shell to cut more of its production of greenhouse gases by the end of this decade. Shell can appeal. For the first time since President Biden took office, the top trade representatives from the U.S. and China are talking. More communication must be a good thing, but experts say there's no end in sight to tariffs. Marketplace's Nova Safo has more.
U.S. Trade Representative Catherine Tai's office called yesterday's virtual meeting with her Chinese counterpart an introductory one and a candid exchange. Notably, the office provided no date for future talks over the ongoing trade dispute between the two countries. The Trump administration's tariffs on Chinese imports are still in place, including on steel and aluminum, along with retaliatory Chinese tariffs on American goods such as soybeans. Lower-level officials from both sides meet monthly to carry out the so-called Phase 1 deal, which set a moratorium on new tariffs. Under that deal, China agreed to buy more American goods, though it has not met many of its annual purchase targets. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
The Dow future is down slightly, the S&P future down 0.2%, the NASDAQ future is down 0.4%. People are getting hired as more people get vaccinated and more businesses reopen. But there's still a long way to go to full recovery, especially in the face-to-face service sector, which employed, if you look at the numbers, it employs a lot of young women. A new study finds that there were pre-existing inequalities in the labor market going into the pandemic recession. The report calls for change to make sure the recovery this time is more equitable than the way we emerged from the Great Recession of 2008 and 9. Here's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman.
The Institute for Women's Policy Research studied women aged 16 to 24 in the pandemic.
Young women suffered the largest percentage decline in employment, largely due to their concentration in retail and service sectors.
Researcher Shengwei Sun says young women were already falling behind economically after the last recession, with many stuck in part-time, low-wage jobs without paid sick time. So when kids and elders needed care at home in the pandemic, keeping those jobs became even harder.
Young women are more likely than young men to identify care responsibilities as the main reason for them to not be able to work for pay.
First priority, says Robert Frick at Navy Federal Credit Union, get
preschools, childcare, and schools back working.
Sun's group is pushing for structural change, increased childcare spending, paid leave, and training for higher paid jobs in construction and manufacturing. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
We are expecting initial jobless claims to fall for the fourth week in a row when we get those numbers on hiring and signing up for unemployment in about an hour and a half. The New York Times is reporting that a small public relations outfit in London has fallen off the radar after questions surfaced about a pitch it made urging social media influencers to claim online falsely that the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID vaccine is dangerous. This PR group was called FaZe with two Z's. And the Times reporting suggests the disinformation campaign may be tied to Russia. David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.